ask up front that we can't make the slides any bigger, so it's a good idea that you move up front. Please do take the streets up front, right? Please come up and you get a better view. You also get a better view on the project leader. Yes, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
So we have half an hour of the keynote. It's actually going to be 20 minutes, and there's 10 minutes for your questions. So hopefully, take note of your questions, and hopefully they all be asked in the 10 minutes after this. I would like to point out that we are also, of course, using Twitter and IRC. I think many of you who are developers will know Freenode. We are on Freenode. We have a Linux talk channel there, but there's also another one. It's Debian, DebConf Berlin, okay. I think. Anyway, I will share Twitter about it so you know about this. This is running throughout the conference. Please join. Please ask questions. It's a good way to distribute questions, actually. Maybe even better than Twitter. Who knows? Right. Just up front, a notice. Tomorrow afternoon, 15:30, one talk is changed. I will announce this a little later. We have Andrew Lee here from Taiwan, from the LXDE thing. He will give a talk on LXDE. Right. Okay. How's the time? I think it's 9:30. We're running on time, so I'd like to welcome Stefano here, and please give him a warm hand. Welcome, and enjoy the conference. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Hi, is this the phone? It's supposed to be on now.
Yeah. But isn't it, the light's not on?
No. Hello? Working? Butter is dead.
I don't know.
Where's the audio guy? We had... Huh?
That's a question. I don't know.
Ah, here he is. All right.
I can just shout if you want.
No. audio, do we have another headset? I think he doesn't know what I'm talking to him.
Probably.
Just a sec. So, as a good conference, we have a problem upstart. Seine Batterie scheint tot zu sein. Kannst du mal schauen, dass wir nicht.
It's supposed to be on. Oh, nice.
The thing I like about open source conferences,
okay, I'll take the
even if something goes wrong, there's always somebody who knows what to do.
And a backup solution with a microphone.
So, hi everybody. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for inviting me here. It's great to have like a mini DevConf around the world, and this one that seems to me very, very well organized. So, congratulations to everybody. So just to understand, how many people among you are Debian developers? Please raise your hand. Okay, Debian maintainers? Okay, wonderful. So the other one will be Debian maintainers like in the ear, right? So in this talk, I just want to share some thoughts of mine about the health of the Debian project right now and about what is really good about it and what we can get better. I'll try to keep it short, and then I leave time for any question you might have. So it's always fun to, for me to look at how all this started almost 17 years ago. So it started with a short message by, well, not so short actually, message but from Jan Bardock to the Linux development newsgroup. And he just announced summer project where he created this new, brand new Linux release called Debian Linux release with a couple of quite ambitious goals. So the point in the beginning was to actually have Linux to be an operating system competitive with commercial operating system. It was inspired by another distribution existing back then, which was called SLS, and he wanted to have a better quality of the packages shipped with the distribution. Ian wanted to have an easy-to-install distribution, something which was built collaboratively by people which were real experts in the software they were packaging, and which was free as in freedom, and it was initially even supported by FSF just a few years later. So the goal was really, were really, really ambitious back then, but in some sense it was easy, just in the sense that there were not so many other distributions back then. We're talking about 1993, which is quite some time ago. Today, that summer project of Ian has evolved quite a bit. So as of today, we have about 30,000 binary packages in Debian Unstable. That's for MD64, SID, and main. We have actually gives birth to about 120 derivatives. That's not technical term, but just meaning other distributions based on the work we do in Debian. Some of them, are, as you know, are really, really popular. We released 11 times, and Squid will be the 12. We actually fired about the same number of project leaders, and we are about 1,000 people making all this. As of today, we are a bit less than 900 IDs. We have a lot of DNs, about 120, and 1,000 contributors all over the world. Also, as far as I know, Debian is among the mainstream distribution, is the distribution with the largest number of ports. And starting from Squeeze, we will also have a couple of non-Linux ports still based on the Debian architecture. So this is quite great for a project that started as a summer project. However, I sometimes feel that people are dissatisfied about some aspects of Debian. So this is some points of food that sometimes I hear around. So I sense that sometimes people in the Debian community, people which are making Debian, feel like a bit of envy with respect to other distros. And for instance, we complain that other distros release more often, that other distros have more users now, that other distros innovate more, that other distros get all the credit and we don't, and yada, yada. So I think it's worth asking ourselves, is really Debian better than the other? Is Debian still relevant this year, 2010? So my personal answer is yes, but is, I think it's important to know why. So just very quickly, if you ask yourself this kind of question, what do you answer? First thing that comes to your mind. Anyone? Stability. Okay, which is another way to say we release less frequently than the other. Okay, what else? Works better, okay. Okay, security for many packages, that's an important point. Anything else? What? Less bloat. Okay, so all these points are relevant, but I think we are better than other for actually some more profound reason, and I'm going to share my thoughts on the subject with you. So the first one, which seems like just a philosophical point, but it's really important. So we are kind of unique in the principle we push and in the way we are independent from corporations. So since 1993, actually since the social contract, which is an year later, we have bound users and developers by a single pact in which we state very clearly that our priorities are users and free software. And we have been working on that for the past 17 years. Actually, we have been promoting the culture of free software more than, I think, most other distribution. And that's really important because our users know that.
So if you look at the communities of other distribution which are backed by companies, you will notice the users are less aware of the problem of software freedom and can accept stuff that our users will never accept, like using known free web services. So this is something we should be really proud of it. We should really be really proud of. We have been pushing the culture of free software more than any other distros out there. So second point, Debian is free, as in freedom, we know, but that's something that does not apply only to the software we ship. That's something which applies also to our infrastructure. And in Debian, you will never see stuff like known free web services which are promoted or offered to the user. You will never see stuff like known free services which are used by the developers to actually do their work. Third point, Debian is independent. We are not backed by a single specific company. We live up of gift economy, which means that we work for each other, and we live up of donation from a lot of people. And believe me, looking at the steady amount of donation that Debian gets to SPI, sometime from of $1, sometime of $50, is really something which makes me feel that people trust Debian, trust what we do. So all this is quite remarkable if you look at the FOSS world of today, because all our competitors are actually either exactly run by companies or are really tied to companies which support them with infrastructure servers. This is not the case for us. We are really independent. And that's important for how we do decisions. So sometimes they say that in Debian decision takes time, that democracy has a price, blah, blah. That's all true, but that's come with a couple of advantages. So decision making in Debian is two things. Is duocracy first, which is a way to say that if you do the job, you actually have the right to take the decision of the job you do. And that's actually really clearly stated in our constitution. And then, after duocracy, we have democracy, which means that the decision taken by anyone, including the DPL, including the technical committee, including the release team, including anyone, can be actually overridden via democracy by all the developers of the project. So that means various stuff. So it means that reputation goes with work. So you can complain on list, but you will get a better reputation if you do more work and better work than others. That's the only way. Second point, it means that in Debian, there are no decisions which can be imposed by someone. And that someone, it's the guy who owns the machine, who owns the infrastructure, who has money. That's not possible in Debian. Okay, we have cabals, but no, we have no cabals either. So we are really a democratic project. Third point, which makes me really proud of Debian, and I think it's a kind of peculiar aspect of Debian too, is quality. So in this first month of DPL, I've been contacted by several companies doing a lot of stuff with Debian, and I summarized a couple of points of feedback. The first one is that even if people out there sometimes choose distributions which are not exactly Debian, but which are based on our work, they do that because they trust our packages. They trust Debian packages. Second point, I've been told, we choose Debian because your packages do not fail to build from sources. That's really an important point, because if you cannot recompile a package, where is the point of free software? Okay? And if you need to change something, you really need that something to be able to be rebuilt. So in general, people feel that Debian is something which is guarantees more quality than other distribution. And in particular, we should keep in mind that in Debian, most package maintainers are experts of the software they maintain, which is not the case in all other distribution. And we don't have any kind of second-class packages. So for us, as someone was stating before for security support, all packages are equal. And that, again, is something which is not the case in all distribution out there. So when we say we release when it's ready, when you say stability, we really just want to say that we care about quality more than others do. So that was the point of why I think Debian is better than most other distributions out there, and I think we should keep in mind that. Still, we can get even better, I believe. And then I have a couple of thoughts on what we need to change in the way we develop, which mostly applies, will be most interesting for Debian developers and Debian maintainers. So first things first, we need to realize that releasing is not a job to be done by a single team.
Releasing is not something which is done by the release team. Okay? So we really need to apply a policy which is a common ground, for instance, in Wikipedia, which is called be bold, meaning that once the RC bugs in your packages are fixed, it is your responsibility to care about the RC bugs in other packages. Okay? The release cannot happen unless we do it all together. So that, of course, goes along with NMUs, which is the only way we have to work on the packages of other. And I think we really needed to push more for that. We should welcome NMUs. We should do NMUs more. We should do them properly. And actually, I suggest you go and have a read as what the current developer references says about NMUs, because it's way more liberal than most of us think. And if you do that properly, you can really be proactive and upload to delayed. When you hit a bug, you can just fix it and give the time to the maintainer to react. So my personal experience with that, with an initiative which I called RCBW, Release Critical Bug of the Week, in which I did like 180 NMUs along 6 months, I think. So in all this, I got no single complaint. So it's true that some maintainer actually override my NMUs, performing a proper NMU before, but that's okay because the bugs get fixed anyhow. But I say that just because we sometimes have the feeling that NMU are not welcome, and I really don't think it is the case. I got a lot of thank you messages on people just being happy that I was helping fixing their packages. So this is the first important point. Second point, the lack of manpower. So the lack of manpower is something we cry about really often, and it's understandable because we see there are things that need some work, but we don't have the people to do that. So that's just common ground in most volunteering organizations. So the lack of manpower is just a condition in which we should work. Let's lie with it. However, you should all remember that with computer we have the advantage that a single motivated people can write a magic program which does stuff and do a lot of work. So when you come to problem like core teams that are not doing what you ask them for, consider stepping in and consider joining them. It is really actually easier than you might expect. And you can notice that periodically I will be releasing call for helps for specific teams. And if you're interested in joining them, just try. It's easier than you think, and if you're motivated, you can do a lot of job, a lot of work, and improve the way of working of everybody else in the project. Second point, this is a folklore that I heard quite often, which goes like, large changes are impossible in Debian. There is too much inertia. That really is not true, but that is the perception you can get if before doing the work, you start a big thread, reaching consensus, and you allow people to stop you from working just because a couple of people say no in the thread. Please remember that we are a big project. We will never have unanimity in the choice we make. So work is more important than talking, and if I allow myself to rephrase a quote from Linus, I'd say that talk is cheap, show me the NMUs. If you have something to do, do the work and start proposing patches for other packages, and big changes will just become possible. Final point, an attractive community. So this is what DistroWatch says about Debian. Discussions on developer mailing lists and blogs can be uncultured at times. And folklore says that to join Debian, you need to grow a thick skin, meaning that you need to be able to support flames, insults, and this kind of stuff in mailing lists. So first of all, I don't think it's really, really true. It was way worse some years ago. But even if it were, it's something we cannot accept, really. It's not acceptable that in our community, you need to have a thick skin, because you need to really, we cannot afford to lose valuable manpower because they don't have thick skin. And that is something that we can all help in improving. It's really easy. So when you have a thread in which you have people that start ranting or insulting, you can really do the effort to make evident that these people are the minority, are not the majority of people in the Debian community. Just mail them first in private, then in public, stating that this behavior is not acceptable. And if we all do that, it will change really, really quickly.
Second point about that, and then I'm over. We should also think about reducing the participation barriers to our community. So we should really need to think about future developers. And we have some cultural aspects like that announcements are documentation, which is not the case. So we use the mailing list IDDA as references to know specific procedures or this kind of stuff. And it's something that is okay for people which is already in the project, but is not okay for people which will join the project next year, for instance. They won't be able to find out a specific procedure and they will need to ask on IRC, spend time. So this is something else we can all help with, which is like consolidating the documentation we have and document procedures that it's easier for people that will come in the future to understand how we work. So that was about it. And I think I have 10 minutes for questions, not necessarily on this, on whatever you might be interested in asking me. Thank you.
Okay, just for the question, so it's on the stream, I would like to ask you to wait for the microphone. So, and I do hope that you have some questions.
Thank you. As an open source developer, how you estimate the chances for a new project to get into the Debian distribution? What are the chances for a newer project to get into the Debian distribution? And how long do I have to wait? And what are the quality requirements to have my package uploaded to the repository? Thank you.
So you're dead again? No, I can't. Hello? Hello? Works? Okay. So your point of view is that of the software developer, but not as a Debian member, right? And you want your software to be packaged in Debian. Okay, so the actual procedure we have for that is to file a bug called a request for a package. But as a matter of fact, that won't work. Because you need to find someone which is interested in your software, someone which has the skills to maintain the package in Debian, and which actually do the work. So what I feel like saying is that actually maintaining a Debian package is not that hard if you are ready to make the commitment of caring about the package in Debian. So the first thing can be look for people in Debian which are doing something similar to your software and ask them if they're interested in maintaining it in Debian. If that don't work, you should really consider maintaining it yourself. So the only thing we ask is that you are ready to take responsibility for maintaining that, for not just uploading it and then forgetting about it, but actually maintaining it for a while, ideally at least for a release cycle. And now we have this role called Debian Maintainer, which just allow you to do that. So it's a simplified way to become a member of the Debian project, actually to become a member of the developer community, in which you will get access and permission to upload your own package. So that is the second option you should consider.
Other questions? What kind of cookies do we have to feed you to get the package in?
I'm sorry, it's not me.
Right, any kind of questions that you always wanted to have answered, this is your chance.
Okay, in the meantime, I would like to congratulate again for the organization of the Mini DevConf. And thank you. It's really, really amazing. Not only the organization, but also how you communicated about that. And the audience is evidence that you did really a great job.
Just, okay, there's this question. Great.
Hi. I have a dream of how I would like to work and earn money. I'd like to found cooperation, co-op, Genossenschaft in German, and if it would be possible to work on Debian and get sponsorship for the work I do in Debian and try to work on that. But I remember that there was quite a long discussion when, for the last release, somebody proposed get people paid to work on Debian. And how do you think would the Debian community react if I would have this co-op and would take sponsorship for this co-op to work on Debian and advertise, for example, in the documentation of my package, well, I do this to get sponsorship from you. You can sponsor me over there.
So the event you referred to was the Dunk Tank project, I think, where some people within Debian proposed to pay the release managers to actually get the release out. So the problem back then was actually that the initiative was coming from within Debian. So as a matter of fact, it is already the case that some people working on Debian are paid to do that. So for instance, there are people working on companies who just work with Debian, and those companies are happy to fund the work of their employees on Debian. And that is perfectly acceptable. What is not acceptable is actually using Debian, I mean, not perceived as acceptable by the Debian community, because I know that other open source projects are doing that. So what is not acceptable is actually to use Debian money to actually pay people to do the job, and that is something I don't see we will ever do. But if you, on your own, advertise the fact that you want to do specific stuff on Debian, and you welcome people to pay you in a kind of market to do that, I think that's perfectly acceptable. I would refrain to actually write that down like in the within the package, but you can do that on your own page, and advertise it, and that's just okay.
Any more questions?
Are we okay here? I've been a Debian user and a Debian fan for 9 years, and I'm also a developer, and I've always wanted to help Debian somehow. A problem that I have is that maybe I should come over in the middle. A problem that I have is that everything I use works. So,
can I quote this?
Yeah. But it means that if I want to help, then I have to help with something that I don't actually use myself, because everything I use works. And so I would like to know, how can I help? Should I go, like, the bug squashing party sounds interesting, or should I try to adopt a orphaned package? Where can I invest my resources to help you guys the most?
So first of all, thanks. That was an indirect compliment to Debian. That was really nice and fun. Still, I don't think that all what you use is actually perfect. In software, you always have stuff to improve. But in particular, I'm quite sure that if you do a check on your machine of the packages you have installed that have RC bugs, you will find that several of the packages that are installed on your machine are actually buggy. Maybe not exactly for you, but for other people. So we have a tool called RC-alert that you can run on your machine, and it will show all the packages that you have installed that are affected by RC bugs. That, for instance, is something that you are using and which is buggy, it can be improved. Maybe it's not buggy in the way you use it, or maybe you could just live with it, but that's a good start. Another example is another script we have, which is WNPP-alert, which does the same thing as before, but tells you which packages are installed in your machine but are not maintained. They are technically orphaned. So that's stuff that maybe now works, but for that stuff, nobody's caring about packaging new upstream version or this kind of stuff. And that's another very good start point in how you can start helping Debian, starting from the stuff you actually use. And then, of course, bug squashing parties and all this kind of stuff, fixing RC bugs in general, is something that really help us in releasing. So that's also something, and actually it's not that hard. If you are a developer, most of the bug you can just code the fix for and then find a developer that will upload your fix.
Right. Unfortunately, now 10 minutes are over. We have to change over for the next speaker. So thank you very much, Stefano. And
I'm sure there'll be more questions when you think about it. Stefano, how long?